Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, I'm Janet Morena, Executive Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Just Ask Janet. Well, before there was Just Ask Janet, there was another show on EWTN called The Catholic View for Women. And we are going to have a tremendous, exciting show because we have a new series starting on Sunday, September 5th. Action-packed shows, hot topics, and joining me are not one, not two, but three special guests, all my co-hosts for The Catholic View for Women. So first up is Teresa Tomeo, my wonderful co-host for the past, oh my goodness, Teresa, I think it's been about 13 years now, yeah. Catholic View for Women. And of course, Teresa has been so gracious all these years having me on her wonderful EWTN radio show, The Catholic Connection. But now we get the ability to connect on TV. Well, guess what? EWTN decided us just having one co-host was not enough. So this brand new season, we have two co-hosts, don't we, Teresa?
We do. It's so exciting. We have Vanessa Denhagarmo and Mary Kaminsky, and both bring so much wonderful experience and different, I would say, life experience as well as professional experience to the program. So I think not only women, but we've gained a lot of male viewers, Janet, over the past 13 years. And this is also, going to be an interesting show for them.
It's The Catholic View for Women, not just for women only. So joining us now is Vanessa Denhagarmo, and she is on Ave Maria Radio with, I believe the show is called Epiphany, right, Vanessa?
Yes, Janet, it's called Epiphany. So excited to be with all of you. And thank you again to you and Teresa for inviting me to be one of the co-hosts of Catholic View for Women. I had a blast with you ladies, and we covered wonderful topics.
And now our fourth lady is Mary Kaminsky, who is a dear friend of mine. You have seen her. Actually, she has been on EWTN with me on Life on the Rock, talking about the Silent No More Awareness campaign. And she also has been representing the campaign since 2003 from the very early days. So, Mary, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Janet, and also Teresa and Vanessa. It was just great to be with you ladies. What a wonderful time we had.
Yeah, it was a blast. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Well, ladies, you know, we really touched on in this new season, which, again, like I'm going to repeat, starts Sunday, September 5th, and there'll be a dozen shows from that on, 12 weeks, and then the shows will cycle through again. So, you know, if you can't catch it the first time, catch it around. And, of course, we have our great website, thecatholicviewforwomen.com, and that's where they can get all the information about these shows. But let's go up to the first one. Let's see, we had Teresa and I are on all the shows, but Vanessa and Mary, they tag teamed with us. So let's just talk about for one, I know for Mary, one of the shows that was really hot topic, which really talks about what's going on today, the gender dysphoria and transgender show. What would you like to say about that one?
Well, this is a topic that is really coming into light, especially today, with what is gender, you know, dysphoria, and what is the transgender craze. And these are very important topics for parents and grandparents also to know that all of a sudden, okay, sex has, you know, been changed, okay, and then all of a sudden, we're getting into the point where what is gender, okay? And we know that sex is imprinted in our DNA, and we know that this happens at the beginning of conception. And human sexuality is binary, okay? But gender right now, this whole gender dysphoria thing is talking about how one perceives oneself. In other words, what are you thinking and feeling about your own gender? And this is also very important because it's influencing our young people as early as preschool. In fact, people may be shocked by this, but between the internet and Hollywood and the media, our children are being indoctrinated very, very young. And so this is a topic that everyone needs to, you know, think about.
And of course, Teresa, you report on all the craziness going on in the media, right? So this is really, right? I mean, this is it. I mean,
yeah, this topic. Yeah, this topic, I think, is out there. And Vanessa and I talk about things in the news. We do a segment on Catholic Connection every week called In the News with TNV. And this topic comes up repeatedly, the way the media cover it. And it's a continued denial, as Mary said, of reality. It's the I think, therefore I am. So if I think that, you know, I'm on the Amalfi Coast right now, when I'm really in my home office in Metro Detroit, that I'm really on the Amalfi Coast. So literally making it up as we go along, doing whatever we want and making it up. And this is a direct attack on the dignity of the human person, and especially because we're made, most importantly, in the image and likeness of God. So, you know, we're not shying away from these topics. And I think this is a biggie, a real biggie.
Yeah. Well, and then Vanessa, the very first show that we debut on September 5th is a show that I know was really dear to your heart, Back in His Arms Again, when we really delved into the topic of miscarriage. What would you like to tell us about that?
You know, people, I didn't think about this, Janet, till people I started interviewing about their own miscarriages and the importance of bearing your children, which I didn't do for my two miscarriages. I didn't even think that was an option, and having the babies blessed. And it was really moving to me to hear the stories of Colleen, who joined us on A Mom's Peace, and just kind of thinking about what miscarriages mean to women. And it is a loss. It's a great loss. And I think about the children I miscarried, especially my second miscarriage, because I was so far along, I knew it was a boy. And there's still pain with that, you know, there's joy, because I think, well, I have two kids in heaven, you know, and I always ask them to watch my daughter, you know, watch your little sister out here. They were the two miscarriages before I had Elena. And so there's a lot of pain, but there's also healing and joy knowing those children are in heaven with Jesus.
Yeah. And then, of course, another hot topic we covered, which especially now during the COVID crisis has been increased, is suicide, Mary. And I know that was a topic that you and I and Teresa delved into with Father Chris Alar. So what would you like to add about that?
Well, especially as you mentioned, Janet, suicide is prevalent in a lot of people's minds during this time of COVID. And, you know, we had some really bad things to think about as far as the topic in years past, where it was really treated shameful and, you know, a terrible thing. And it is. But now we really want to explore reaching out for help before people even get to that point that they're distressed. And, you know, we talk about a lot of signs that parents can look for. And Father Chris did an excellent job of, you know, really just talking about the healing, especially if you know someone that's committed suicide.
Yeah. And then, of course, Teresa, another episode we did focused on your newest book, Listening for God. And I know you also did a whole big conference on that topic, but that show, Listening for God, give them a little, you know, peek into what we were talking about.
Sure. Well, you can see behind me, I keep my little poster up in my office. So Listening for God, Discovering the Incredible Ways God Speaks to Us. And it's amazing stories, including a beautiful testimony from Vanessa, the way God speaks to us in surprising ways. And we have those aha moments, or I call them in the book, JM, I call them Godcidences, where we know there's just too many coincidences for it to be a coincidence, that God has really stepped into our lives. And the whole object really of the book is to get people to think that God is with us. So listening to him, obviously the church teachings, the commandments, but listening for him, because he's always trying to speak to us. And do we see him? Do we see him in maybe other people? Do we see them in the God moments, or do we not recognize those God moments? So the book is very uplifting, and I think the conversation was great. We shared a lot of the different stories in the book.
Yeah, we did. We certainly did. And brothers and sisters, you're watching. This is The Catholic View for Women with Teresa Tamio, Mary Kaminsky, and Vanessa Denhagarmo. We are debuting our brand new season on EWTN, September 5th, 11:30 p.m. Tune in. Set your DVR, whatever you got to do, but you're going to want to watch these topics sizzle. Hot sizzling topics. Okay, let's go down to another one then. Okay, those were all very, very serious topics. But then, Mary, we did another one that was kind of a little lighter, but also taking care of not just like Teresa's book is nurturing our soul, but then we did a show about getting healthy to nurture our bodies. Tell us about that one.
Well, the show was Getting Healthy to Serve the Lord. And this was a great show. We actually featured a book by Jay Richards, which was called Eat, Fast, and Pray. And, you know, as Catholic women and all Catholics, we've really had the opportunity to talk about fasting and what does that mean. And nowadays we really don't, you know, discuss it as much as we did maybe many years ago. But fasting is actually wonderful, okay, for your physical body as well. There's so many things that are beneficial, not just to lose weight, but to have mental clarity, okay? And we, you know, talk about how we do this fasting and why it's important. And especially today in our world where there's so much spiritual warfare, fasting with prayer can be an excellent tool for people to learn what it's about and can I do it? And that's the whole thing that was great. Anybody can really do it. It's just training your body. And you can also grow in holiness and, you know, combat those spiritual warfare issues with this.
Well, I know. I never thought I could fast. I mean, the idea of fasting for me always, like, you know, it just seemed like, you know, when you go for blood work, you fast from the night before to the next morning, run into the place to get your blood and run out and stuff your face, you know. But actually, Mary, since I've tried it, I can actually go a day and a half, almost to a day and three quarter. I haven't gotten the full 2 days into the third, but I can get there. You know, a day and a half has become easier and easier. And you're right. It does, I think, magnify our prayer life. So I know people are going to really look forward to when that episode happens. Well, Teresa, let's go to you for a minute, because I know there was a show we actually, I think this show stemmed from when you and I were in a conference a number of years ago, right there in Detroit on gay marriage, right?
Yeah.
Civil unions. And we did a whole show once again on this. And we brought in Dr. Mary Healy, who is an expert there from the seminary there. So tell us a little bit more about that show.
Right. We had a major conference here a few years ago in my home archdiocese, the Archdiocese of Detroit. And it was put on in part by the Archdiocese, Ave Maria Radio, and also the Courage Ministry, which is a wonderful, very holy ministry started on the East Coast to help men and women in the church with same-sex attraction. And so we looked at all the issues that the church is facing right now with this, and we talked a little bit more about this. And then Mary Healy, who is a PhD, and she's a scripture scholar, and she is involved with the Vatican and their scripture study as well, and teaches at Sacred Heart Major Seminary here in Detroit. And she did a great job of telling us the truths of who we are and why marriage is a sacrament and what it means in terms of bringing together male and female, and why this is so important to the church and to society and humanity. And it's all in there in scripture. And she does a great job of explaining it for us.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, like I said, this whole season, it's kind of like if someone said to me, pick your favorite show, I'm like, I don't think I can, because I liked every last one of them, because they all address such hot topics, important things, you know, in our church right now. And that brings me to another one, which is the show we did on social media. I'm going to ask everyone to comment, starting with Mary, because Mary, as we know, is in campus ministry up into a secular college in New Jersey. So she's got her finger on the pulse what's going on with the college kids. But tell us, Mary, the damage social media is doing to our kids today. Because it's being used not properly, but improperly.
Right. Unfortunately, with many, you know, young people, especially college students, right now they're addicted to phones. Okay, it's becoming just a tragedy that everything is about the phone, and it's to a point where everything's on social media. So their whole self-esteem, self-identity comes from what they see on social media and how they're interacting with other people on social media. And it's also very predatory too. I mean, there's so many opportunities where evil can get in, you know, across social media. And this is very dangerous, especially for the young people. And it is a problem. And like I said, you know, how this is gonna all end up, I really don't know. But, you know, this is another area where parents really need to be aware how much time is really spent with their children on social media.
Well, I know in the episode too, we showed some clips that I think parents will find very shocking when they see how their young people are so addicted to this. And Vanessa, you have a teenage daughter. What can you comment about this whole social media damage that's happening to our young people?
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. And there's this need to compare all the time. She actually just showed her dad and I this young girl at her high school that has 30,000 followers on TikTok. And some of the stuff that she's showing is pretty provocative. And my husband immediately said, well, why do you think she has 30,000 followers and who are those followers? And so there's this constant desire to get as many people to so-called like you, and they don't even really know you. And you have to wonder why they really like you. And so there's a lot of pressure, competition. It also does contribute to stress and anxiety and depression because these kids think these lives, everybody's life is so much better than their life. Oh, look how pretty she looks. Look what she just bought. Look what she has. Look what they're doing. And they think that everybody's life is so much better. And it's really not truth. And the ironic thing is, Janet, the story that I contributed into Teresa's book, Listening for God, really was inspired by my own social media incidences of being attacked by people for me merely posting a question. And then I got attacked right away. I'm not going to give you the whole story because you got to, you know, read it in the book. But I go through that. We go through that as adults on social media. That's just not our kids. It's all of us being pressured and attacked. And it's not constructive conversations. It's a very negative platform in many ways, if not utilized properly.
Well, yeah, I find now, like, with, and especially on Facebook, there's certain things I won't comment on. I won't like, I won't unlike, I won't do anything. I won't say boo. And one of the is about this whole COVID-19 to vaccinate or not vaccinate. That is the question. So you know what I tell people now? If they ask me, have you been vaccinated? I said, my body, my choice, number one. And that's between me and my doctor. But you're right. All this attack is happening on social media. But it's, and that's what the parents will see when they watch our episode on
social media. But I think, JM, if I could jump in, because in addition to what you're talking about, what we try to bring out in this segment, which is really important, is that adults are getting influenced. And Vanessa and I talk about this as well on my Catholic Connection and on her show Epiphany, because we do a lot together on the media, is that adults are being duped into believing that everything they see on social media is actually true. And I'm talking about even big stories that are happening in the church, and they buy into this and they go in a particular direction that can be very dangerous for them. And in some cases, you know, you have information, misinformation regarding health issues, whether it be COVID or something else. And in other cases, you have misinformation that can be very damaging spiritually, where people see something and actually believe what so-and-so is saying about this part of the church teaching or this part of the church teaching. So it affects all of us from all ages, and it's out of control. There's a story out there now about how the Taliban has received almost 300,000 followers now on their Twitter account, and Twitter is not shutting them down. Facebook has shut them down. YouTube has shut them down. But the Taliban is able to do recruiting right now, and they've silenced
Twitter.
You know, many, many people on the conservative side. It's ridiculous. It's out of control.
It really, really is. And in our episode, parents are going to be shocked because we did show a video clip where it showed, it asked the kids, what's more important to you in life right now? And what did they were all saying? To be famous.
Famous on Facebook.
I mean, that's your goal in life? That's what you want to be, famous on Facebook? No, I think you would want to get a good education and get out and get a good job. And what kind of career were you inspired to? No, they want to be famous on Facebook. So brothers and sisters, you got to tune into these episodes, because not only will we give you the shocking information, but then we'll give you the path to the solution. And I think that's what we're trying to tell everyone here. These shows are such hot topics. They strike on the chord of what's going on in the news right now, but then they're also giving you the Catholic perspective and the path to come against all these evils. Okay, so let's go to another topic we covered, another hot topic. You never hear this from the pulpit, but we did do a show on Children Made to Order, IVF, right? You know, how many Catholic couples get married in the church, and then they contracept for many, many years, and the women's fertility is going out the window, goodbye, and now they want to have a family. They're ready. Oh, okay, we've saved up the money. We bought the house. Okay, we want to have kids, and she can't get pregnant. And they go down the IVF road. So let's start first with Mary. I know we had a great guest on that episode. Tell us a little bit about what you have to say, and then we'll go around the table. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things that's important that maybe is not discussed as much is the health dangers for women who go into, you know, the IVF procedures. And, you know, what is really involved, okay, in that, and why, you know, when women's ovaries have to be stimulated and they're on these drugs, and many eggs, you know, are conceived. What does that, what are these risks, you know, for women, you know, and the children, okay, that are being exploited. And, you know, part of this too is all about the egg donation. I know on the college campus, we always have a problem with, in the newspaper or the social media, they look for young women to donate their eggs, okay, for large amounts of money. And again, you know, most girls don't know. They're looking at $8,000, $10,000 for eggs, okay? And they have no idea where their children are going to be, okay? And what this does to their body, okay? And that's, again, going back to the health issue. So it's quite a complicated issue.
And of course, you know, with the IVF procedure, they usually implant at least four embryos. That's four babies. Mm-hmm. And then if too many babies take, as they say, then the next thing you know, they recommend a selective reduction, which is which abortion. Baby are we now going to destroy?
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, okay, let's go next to Vanessa. What do you have to say about this whole IVF thing?
Well, in addition to that, Janet, not only are they selectively just aborting babies that took, you know, if you had three or four, a lot of the babies are disregarded or, you know, I know people that have had 13 embryos in petri dishes and they implanted three or four. And then what happens to the rest of them? They're just sitting in freezers or they sell them, as Mary said, or they're disregarded. And not only did I have two miscarriages and one child, but I never got pregnant again. And I can't tell you how many people asked me, why aren't you doing IVF? Why aren't you doing IVF? And I said, God blessed me with the one he gave me. I am grateful to God. And that's his choice. I'm not going to do anything other than what is natural to have any more kids. And it not only does it go against the Catholic Church, but, you know, how many women are fine with their babies just sitting in petri dishes? You know, and so many people don't know that truth. They don't have that information. Teresa and I talk about this all the time, how much we're educating people about abortion, about IVF, about what really happens. They don't have this information. They don't know what really happens because the mainstream media is not reporting that.
And we don't hear it, Janet, as you said in the beginning, and then for this episode, we don't hear it from the pulpit. I mean, I know that as a deacon's wife, I know that they're supposed to be preaching on the gospel and on the readings, but you can always bring in a life aspect or something that's happening in the world, which I know many deacons and priests, including my husband and our chaplain, our spiritual advisor, Father Frank, always, they both do this all the time. But a lot of people don't know their faith, and they have no idea why the church is saying that this is wrong. If they would just take the time, as Vanessa did, to open one's heart and to say, okay, I say I believe what the Catholic Church teaches, but why? What does the church actually teach? And look it up in the catechism, look up the documents. And I think it makes a lot of sense. It does make a lot of sense. But you sit down and you go, oh, okay, I never heard that before. In this day and age, given that so much information is literally at our fingertips, and you could Google in 10 seconds, and you could put church teaching on IVF, and it would pop up. You'd get all kinds of documents from the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, from your organization, from all different, you know, organizations. So we don't really have an excuse, but we're trying to bring this to people and say, look, this is what the church teaches and why, and the damage it does. The thing about church teaching is it always goes back to the natural law, and it's backed up by science because everything comes from God. And once we start going away from that, whether it's with the gender issues, whether it's with abortion, whether it's with IVF, whatever it is, something happens in terms of our souls and our physical being that is not right. Things happen and we can get ourselves into a lot of trouble. So really education, I think, I'm so proud of these episodes that we've done. I mean, I don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much, but I really think these are very timely topics. And they're also evergreen topics that are not going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
Right. And also, well, Janet, if I could just add one last thing. We have the gift of NAPRO technology.
Yes.
It's a wonderful, wonderful, you know, opportunity for women and men that really are trying to conceive naturally, you know, with God in place. So we don't always hear that also in pre-Cana or other opportunities, you know, that should be explored.
If, And if people want to find more about NAPRO technology, just go to fertilitycare.org and you'll see where is the nearest trained NAPRO technology doc.
Well, you give that website, but we also, and you and I were all about the resources and all of our ministries, whatever we do, and especially for me and Vanessa, because we're reporters and we're always giving people, you know, sites to go to and attribution and whatnot. But what I love is our Janet Miranda, the teacher's moment at the end in terms of our homework section. Janet, you know, with your background in education, we have that cute little graphic of you at the chalkboard. But it's really helpful because you're watching these episodes and you're like, okay, where do I go for more information? Mm-hmm. And then all the information is there for you. In addition to the discussion, in addition to the interviews, it's just, I'm really proud of what we're accomplishing, especially in this season.
Well, and that's to, I have to thank our staff here at Priest for Life, because starting September 5th, that Sunday night when that first episode launches, of course, all your lovely faces will now be up on the website. But Krista from our office laid out all the episodes and the resources are there. And so if you're watching the show and you didn't get your pen down quick enough to go, what was that website Teresa said? What was that website Vanessa and Mary and Janet said? It's going to be up on our website, thecatholicviewforwomen.com. So, you know, it's going to be very, very easy. And I hope everyone follows our shows each and every week, because we were just jumping around here on all the different topics, you know, that we have. And there was one other topic I just want to touch on real quickly. Vanessa, you suggested this one. And I think people right now are going to be shocked when I say this, but they're going to go, really? That's a topic? We talked about domestic violence among Catholics, and that, wake up, there are people sitting in your pews who are suffering from domestic violence. So Vanessa, just tell us quickly, what put it on your heart to introduce that as a topic for one of our episodes?
Yeah, for me, it was a cultural thing, Janet, because there's domestic violence in general population, but culturally, it's different for each culture. I'm from the Middle East, I'm Chaldean, and I'm not saying that it happens more so in our community, but it's more hush hush in our community. And that's very true in the Middle Eastern community. You don't talk about those things. If you're being abused in any way, you don't go to the school counselor if you're a child, or you don't go to your local priest and you don't say, my husband's abusing me. You try to keep your mouth shut and keep it private within the community. And that's detrimental. You know, that's detrimental. That's not getting healing and getting help. And so I thought it was really important that we bring that out, because unless you're in these cultures where this is accepted, you don't know. And maybe you can identify if it's your neighbor or somebody you're sitting at church with, or in a Bible study or a mom's group, and you notice some things are going on, reach out to that woman and help her. And that's why I thought it was so important that we identify that, because in some cultures, these women are not getting help.
That's right. Okay, going to go around each person, a quick closing comment. So we'll start with Teresa, closing comment.
Well, first of all, I'm just so grateful that Vanessa and Mary were able to join us, because as I said in the beginning, they bring such a wonderful perspective, and they're workhorses like you and I, Janet. So we really appreciate the fact that they dig in their heels and they get the information and they're willing to say, okay, let's tackle this. And I just want to encourage folks to spread the word about this program, because again, these are topics that you're not going to hear out there in the secular media, and unfortunately not enough from the pulpit, but we are not shying away from anything, and we're going to give you great information to grow closer to the Lord in the church. So please tune in.
Okay, and Mary?
I would just also, to add on to that, a lot of what we bring to the show is from our own experiences, whether it be with Teresa and Vanessa, okay, in the reporting aspect, and Janet, all your pro-life work, and myself from, you know, just working on a college campus. So we just don't read these things. A lot of us have had these experiences. So I think it's a personal input to what we can share to educate people on these topics.
Okay, and Vanessa?
You know, we're all called to evangelize the faith. And in addition to watching the programming on EWTN, go to the website, Catholic View for Women, and share this information with other people. Send links to the show. I mean, Janet's team has done a tremendous job in keeping all of us informed. She just said that the resources are out there. It's on the website. So do your part and take this information we put together for you and share with other people, because we're all called to bring others to Christ and help people, our brothers and sisters in this Catholic Church. So do your part by sharing this information with other people.
Okay. Well, thank you, ladies. It is my privilege to serve with all of you as a co-host. Teresa, Mary, Vanessa, God bless you. I can't wait till this first show airs September 5th, 11:30.
Yeah. Praise the
roof. Be there or be square. Thank you, ladies.
Yeah, thanks, Janet.
Okay, and thank you too, brothers and sisters, for joining me on Just Ask Janet. And once again, tune in to The Catholic View for Women, seen on EWTN beginning September 5th. Thanks. God bless. I will be silent no more. I'm free from the
light, the open. This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.